Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. This is the, I guess, holiday edition, we can call it, as it is airing on what Canadians like to call Boxing Day, the day after Christmas. That's actually in Canada when you get a lot of the deals in terms of retail stores, kind of like Black Friday in the U.S., but in Canada, we call it Boxing Day, happens right after Christmas. I have a full show planned this weekend, and we're going to be talking, or more or less recapping, some of the investing successes that my guests have had this last year, and some of the themes that they are looking at more for next year. We're starting off in the resource and precious metals focused, as I am chatting with Dave Erfley. Just to remind everybody, Dave is the founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Also joins me pretty much every week throughout the year to share his insights on the precious metals and some of the stocks that he is recommending. I really like Dave's newsletter, so if anyone hasn't checked it out and you are interested in precious metals investing in the stocks, it's well worth a visit, and at least give Dave a shot because he shares exactly what he's investing in with all of you. Dave, let's start by recapping this last year. Can you give me one, two, maybe three stocks that you did really well on this last year? Some of the standout investments in your newsletter and portfolio, please.
Yeah, sure, Corey, and thanks for having me on the weekend edition. My biggest gainer was by far Discovery Metals. They have a huge project in Mexico, and it's lower grade silver, but it's already been proved up to 500 million ounces of lower grade silver. But the company's in the process of exploring a higher grade starter pit, and it's implementing a phased approach to building the mine, which would significantly reduce the upfront capex. And moreover, you know, it's run by a serially successful management team of the Oxygen Capital Group, along with being, I think, Eric Sprott's either largest or one of his largest investments in the silver space. He owns 20% of the company, and they're fully funded through 2022 with $80 million in cash, which is quite a high cash hoard for a smaller silver developer.
Okay, so one of these silver stocks sounds like a more advanced silver stock, and something to consider, even though silver had a good year, but is still way, way off of its all-time highs. What other stocks, too, Dave, that you did well on this year that I assume you still hold?
Yeah, I do still hold Discovery Metals, and also another silver play is Aftermath Silver. They've got three really good high-grade projects. Two of them are in Peru, but their flagship is the Chayacolo silver gold project in Chile, and they just put out a mineral resource estimate on that project, and that company's done really, really well for me. So you know, the silver space is really starting to heat up here, and I expect silver to have a very good 2021. So you know, it's no surprise that two of my best winners this year are silver plays.
Okay, so silver seems to be a trend heading into next year for you, and silver down in, I guess, Mexico and in South America. Let's talk about that strategy then heading into next year, because silver has generally been outperforming gold, at least in the near term. But again, gold reached all-time highs. Silver is still almost 50% away from all-time, or 100% away from all-time highs, 50% off of their all-time highs of a decade ago. Does that mean you're looking at more leverage in the silver plays in terms of ounces in the ground, or is it going to be more a strategy of looking at some of the exploration stocks?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about silver, Corey. You know, when it runs pretty fast, and it runs pretty far, but the windows are smaller than gold, and silver always starts later than gold when the bull market in gold begins. I vividly remember back when I first got into the space back in 2003, the gold price had already nearly doubled, yet silver had not done much of anything. So I really started to do a lot of research in silver, and I bought a lot of physical silver in 2005 at around $5 an ounce, and I still have it. And silver did not start to move until about 2006. And by 2008, when the financial crisis hit and silver got hit pretty hard, like it did back here in March, it got hit down to 850, right around there. But it went from 850 in 2008 to $49 in 2011. So even though silver always gets a late start on gold, they usually peak out at the same time, and the windows of opportunity are a lot smaller. So I think that window of opportunity right now is here in silver. So I think we could see some really strong moves in 2021 in the silver space.
Okay, let's start at the top of the pyramid for silver stocks. So some of the silver producers, there's only really a handful of pure silver plays out there when it comes to production, but there are a few new stories that have also come into the market this last year. How do you view the production plays and some of these newer production plays?
Yeah, that's the other thing, Corey, about silver is there's really not a lot of quality silver plays out there. So that's why it's beneficial to find a really good quality silver play, because when you do, they really make strong moves because they have really good leverage to silver. I think the producers, you know, you've got two of them that are on the New York Stock Exchange that have good leverage to silver, and that's First Majestic and Endeavor Silver. And I think in Endeavor Silver, I'm not a shareholder of either one. I did really well with First Majestic in the 2008 run-up, but what I was looking for in this cycle is the next First Majestic, like the next growth-oriented producer. And I think a company like America's Gold and Silver, who have really not had a very good year, I think they have a strong possibility of being that. I mean, they've got three projects, one gold and two silver, and their Relief Canyon mine, which has had problems in startup. And they've just come into commercial production on that right now. And I think they'll ramp up to full production in April. So they're going to have a lot of cash flow from that. But they're two silver projects. One of them, Eric Sprott, is the old Galena mine in the Silver Valley in Idaho. He owns 40% of that and cashed them up to explore that. And they're coming up with a lot more silver there, and they're finding it at only like $5 an ounce discovery price. So I'm sorry, 5 cents an ounce discovery price. So they've proved up over 100 million ounces there already in this drill program, and I think their target is 190 million ounces by the middle of 2021. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure, but then they've got the Cosala operation in Mexico, which has been closed down by a blockade there, which kind of has been a blessing, because while that's been going on, the silver price is going up. They got the mine on care and maintenance. So once they get that problem resolved, we had a similar situation happen to Equinox, and I believe they've resolved that problem. So once that problem's resolved, there's over 100 million ounces of high-grade silver in those operations, and it's closed down now while the silver price is going up. So maybe, with a little bit of luck, they'll have all three of these projects going full steam in 2021. So, and then the stock will be set for a very strong re-rate by the market.
Yeah, America's Gold and Silver, actually had them on the show about a week and a half ago. And it's an interesting turnaround story, especially, well, we'll view how it all works next year when they actually do turn that around. Dave, when it comes to jurisdiction, though, we're kind of all over the place here. Discovery Metals, Aftermath Silver, both in different areas. America's Gold and Silver, that's also in a different area. Are you partial to any certain jurisdiction when it comes to silver stocks?
Yeah, Corey, I really like Mexico. You know, Mexico is always a great jurisdiction for silver. And Peru is good also. But as far as early stage permitting, that could be a bit of a problem if you're a company that needs permits to drill. There's something called a consulta previa permit that you need to get there in some of these projects. And they're very difficult to obtain now that the country is on, I believe, their seventh mining minister in the last 5 years. I mean, the permitting red tape there is not getting any better. So if you're a company like Aftermath, though, you know, both of their projects are later stage and they already have their permits. So they're okay as far as permitting is concerned. But if you're going to if you're going to go into Peru into an early stage exploration company that needs permits, you might want to call the company and make sure that they've got a fast track to get those permits.
So, Dave, when it comes to then analyzing some of the silver stocks that have ounces in the ground, what do you put more weight in right now for leverage to the silver price? Is it actual ounces in the ground or is it high-grade ounces in the ground? Because in all fairness, it sounds like some of your other investments, the ones that have done well, even Discovery Metals, they are more of a low-grade asset. Yes, with the higher-grade starter pit.
Yes, yes. I mean, grade obviously is key. If you do have a company that is an optionality play that has a lot of ounces in the ground, but they are lower grade, you have to be careful with that because, you know, if they don't have a clear path to a higher grade area and they're not doing some exploration work and bringing up higher grades, then you have to be a lot more patient with companies like that because they're going to need higher silver prices to be economic. But yes, I mean, grade is something that I look at for sure.
All right. Well, Dave, we'll wrap it up there. And you know what? It seems like silver is going to be a focus for you. I know that you also do hold a number of gold positions too. And you and I have talked about some of the other commodities out there, especially the ones that have been breaking out at the end of the year and really outlining if those have some potential. But sounds like silver is going to be your focus early on this year, and it really just comes down to doing due diligence onto these individual stocks, and boy, oh boy, a lot of stocks have done well this year, so hopefully we can continue that momentum throughout next year. Dave, it's great having you on the show. Thank you again for taking time on this weekend show. I hope you have a very happy new year, a great end to your year. Thanks for your time, Dave.
Thanks a lot, Corey, and happy holidays and a happy new year to all your listeners. And thanks again for having me on.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.